gone through some things that I can't even talk about, but they're the most tragic, saddest things I've ever been a part of in my entire career. And that includes multiple years, you know, serving in the Army in Iraq. And so, yeah, you just don't prepare for that. You don't prepare for the grief and the trauma.
Constructing your life is about much more than just building a bank account. Each week, join mindset coach Austin Linney as he interviews guests who are constructing their dream lives and impacting the world around them on a daily basis. If you're an entrepreneur or wanting to start a business, or you just want to hear motivating stories of how others have overcome the odds, you are in the right place. And now for your host, Austin Linney.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. We've got my man Nathan in the house. How are you doing, sir?
Hi, I'm doing well. Awesome. Good to be here, man.
I'm doing good, man. You perplex me. You've had a couple different careers, and then you went from working for this scale machine to buying your own company. So there's so much to unpack here. Plus, you're one of the smartest people I've ever met, too, when you started talking about AI stuff in Dallas. I was like, I don't know what's going on with this guy, but he knows a lot about software and other stuff. So why don't you start your story where you want to kind of tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, man. Happily married, been married for over 21 years. Have four kids, two boys, two girls, and 21, 18, 16, and 13. So great ages. Started my career kind of in the Army. My first semester of college is when 9/11 happened. So I started college. 9/11 happened, and I took off for the Army. I have a twin brother, and he had joined before that, and so I kind of followed his footsteps. And then my father had served in the Navy, so really enjoyed that start. I'm an operations guy at my heart, and the Army really brought that to life. Found a lot of, I'll say, self-worth in the Army, and then and I think used that to kind of propel the rest of my career, which ended up leaving, going back, finishing my degree. And then going to Lockheed Martin, so big defense contractor, incredible company, and I absolutely hated it. They paid for my MBA, which was pretty cool, and I did learn a lot, and mostly that I didn't want to work for big companies. And so I started my own property management company while I was working, Monday through Thursday from 4 p.m. to 3 a.m. I'd work at Lockheed at night, and then I'd go work on my property management company and flipping houses during the day, get up at 7 and did that for like 8 or 9 months, and then finally quit and went full time. So so that was super cool, and I got to learn how to start from scratch. And then and I went to WeWork after that and got to learn what scale looked like after kind of doing my own company. And stayed in that kind of real estate space, operations space, like the intersection of real estate, technology, and people. That's my sweet spot. And then I got kind of tired of that whole technology, fast growth, no profit kind of businesses, and went and bought an HVAC company with a couple of friends that we'd done the property management company before. So knew them well, trusted them, and that's what we've been doing for the last 2 years.
So, Lockheed Martin and WeWork, I mean, those are two of the biggest companies probably in the United States. Obviously there's ExxonMobil, but these are monster companies. I know a couple guys that work for Lockheed as well too. What aspects of those businesses, were you so not uncomfortable with, but just didn't enjoy?
Yeah. I mean, Lockheed Martin specifically, it's just such a large company. I think when I joined, it was 143,000 employees. And they're doing $50 to $55 billion in revenue, and it's just, they just move slow, and I think the final thing for me is I realized, hey, I probably want to go do entrepreneurship, but I remember I went up for a manager role, and I was, obviously I'm biased, but I was outperforming my peers, like things were going really well, and I wanted to go for this role, and I couldn't even get an interview because they said my Army leadership experience didn't count. And so I'd only been out of the Army for a few years. And so I will be honest with you, that pissed me off and really left a sore, just a sour taste in my mouth. So that's the point where I basically moved to the night shift and started on my own business.
I love that. And then you were telling me, I just got to share because you were telling me some wild stories about WeWork when we met in Dallas. Kind of give everybody, for anybody that just knows the name WeWork, obviously it's in the news and that's a whole thing, another can of worms. But, talk about how they viewed you. they would just like set you loose. Like, walk us through like how that worked, scaling WeWork.
I mean, it was the best thing that happened in my career, honestly. So I don't think you'd find a better kind of assembly of people and talent that came together, you know, after a mission, which was really cool. You name any role in like any company, I bet I could find someone as good or better at WeWork that I knew there, which is really like, that's telling about who was attracted to that mission. But I mean, honestly, I got the job like running head of operations for the Southern US. Like, probably never should have gotten that job in the first place, but did. And eventually I just got promoted every 9 months after that. But when I joined, like, my ops team had, I don't know, two people, and we were doing, I don't know, 4 million-ish, 5 million-ish in revenue. And by the time I left 3 years later, I'd gotten promoted to general manager. So over everything for that region. And we were on, our run rate was 220 million at that point. You know, and so hired hundreds of people, you know, opened tons of locations, just, you know, like the one name drop I do is I got to sit down and negotiate real estate with Jerry Jones, it was just super cool. It's fun. And, really interesting. And his family asked so many different questions, just really concerned about their brand. And then ultimately what they did was, they did not do any real estate deals with us, and they went and created their own co-working space, and they stole my leader from Dallas Fort Worth to go run it. So, you know, thanks, Jerry. You know,
yeah, that's how they do it, baby.
That's how they roll, man. So.
That's how they roll. You know why they were asking those questions. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just, I mean, it was at the Star, which is their new headquarters in Frisco, Texas. And yeah, it was just really, it was fascinating to see what they cared about and what mattered to them. And we got to tour them through Plano, our location there at Legacy West. And so, yeah, it was, I feel like I got empowered to do things that most people, you know, wouldn't have the chance to do. And, you know, people said that WeWork is one of the easiest places to feel like a CEO. And I absolutely believe that. I like the things I got to decide and push forward and really build was absolutely incredible. So, you know, it had its challenges and its things that didn't work out. And, you know, everyone's seen the headlines, I think, but, you know, for me, it was an unbelievable path and journey. And like the people I met there were some of the best I've met in my life.
Guys, let me take a minute to tell you about my buddies over at LeadHub, Ben and Aaron. The best humans I know. Not only are they amazing at marketing for trade companies, but Ben started his HVAC company in his garage, sold it for multi-million dollars. So when this guy talks, I listen. When we took over Dietz Mechanical, we had 22 reviews in 22 years and 7 short months. We went from 22 reviews to 107. We went from a 4.2 to a 4.7. We tripled our Facebook presence and we tripled our calls. If you're an HVAC, plumbing, electric, landscaping company, and you're looking for a no BS approach to marketing, you're looking for people who have done it before, you got to go to leadhub.net.
When I was finishing out my hospitality career in San Antonio, I worked for a billionaire who launched the Pearl.
Nice.
And, you know, I opened that hotel. I ran the food hall. All the drinks are mine. A lot of the big wigs we had up there were some heavy hitters that had been in Chicago, New York, like big scene. When you operate at that level, and this was a legacy play for him. He sunk so much money into it, but he was trying to bring plazas back to America, like that family oriented kind of like understanding. Right. But to watch, the people be paid at the top, to watch every detail mattered on a large scale operation like that. It really taught me, and I'm curious your thought when you work for WeWork and these other big companies, it taught me what like true definition, like there's a whole nother level up there that a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like obsessing over, you know, when someone came to visit WeWork, if they were a very, very senior leader in the C-suite, I mean, every single thing mattered. The volume of the music in the conference room, you know, any streaks on glass, any dirt anywhere. Did you know their name, like customers when they came in? Do they have their logos in the right place? Do you know every single little thing? And yeah, I think that it's that kind of fanaticism that actually gets them to where they go or want to go. And it doesn't always end in the best way, but it's like the necessary characteristic, right? You just have to.
Totally. So you're at WeWork. You got your guys that you did the property management company, and you say, "I'm gonna go buy an HVAC company." Was that the market or the type of business that you were looking for? Did you look for a couple different ones?
Yeah, we are open to home services, in general. So we had a thesis that we really wanted to be able to do some kind of technology play on top of whatever we're going to do skilled trades. But we got really serious about the criteria we wanted. So after being at WeWork, and then I went to a tech enabled brokerage focusing on leasing multifamily spaces. And both of those are needed, but only to a certain extent. And so I wanted something that was needed, necessary, that was urgent. Kind of came from my roots because my degree is literally facility management, property management, and like construction essentially. So, I really like that space, and I'd spent a lot of time as a facility manager at Lockheed Martin, and obviously doing the property management company. And so I dragged all the guys from the property management thing to WeWork as well. So we did that together, and then we were looking at companies for years, honestly, trying to figure out what we're going to do, and we just kept getting outbid for larger companies. So we had this thesis that we wanted to do HVAC because it had the highest percentage of recurring revenue based on like maintenance contracts or club memberships that they have. It's relatively simple. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it's a simple business as far as like, at least in residential, in a certain geography, like it's usually the same like 10 to 12 things over and over and over again. It's a thermostat, it's a capacitor, it's a fan motor, it's a blower motor, it's a, a board, right? And so, so I like the finite approach to that of inventory control and efficiency and all those things. And so, and then just thinking about like how we could take the hospitality I learned at WeWork and really bring it into home services where you don't see it, because home services in construction is the second most complained about industry in the whole country. So only behind automotive repair. That's the only one that is behind. And so like, when you look at this list on, from like the government, it shows, literally scams, like financial scams are still ranked lower than home services as far as like complaints and everything. And so I think that's super funny. So we were like, okay, that's a space for opportunity. And then we love the idea of kind of like making the trade sexy again. I think it's just like really highly dignified, skill set. One of my partners, he spent 2 years on a church mission in South America. And down there, it was always a choice that was with similar dignity, like go to school or learn a skill. And they were never looked down upon. And I wish that was something that was a little more true, here in our country.
Totally. You bought a little smaller. You talked about that when we were in Dallas, than most people typically would. Kind of what's your pros and cons of what net income did you buy at? And then what's your kind of pros and cons of what you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, it's so painful. So we bought at like a million-ish in revenue. Net, I mean, at that time, it was probably like 200, 250-ish. Who knows what the real number was? You just never know with these smaller businesses sometimes. But he ran a good shop had it for 20 years, did a great job, really had a great brand, really, really liked the owner. And so, that was good, but man, a million in revenue is so painful. And for us, it was really hard because it was much smaller than we wanted. We really wanted to be at that 5 million plus revenue. We just kept getting outbid by, lower middle market private equity and, other people doing roll-ups. And so we figured it's better to be in the game than to be talking about the game. I don't want to be just someone who's talking about crap. And so we want to be doing, and so we pulled the trigger on this small guy, and if I had the chance to do it again, man, I probably would have held out a little longer for a bigger one. but I mean, there's no substitute for having the phone ringing day one, which is really nice. And so after 2 years, we hit about 3.6 million this year or for last year, and trying to get much bigger and add plumbing this year. So compounding takes time, and we're certainly compounding. It just it definitely takes more time than you'd hope.
So what was, I'll start with one question. What was harder than you thought before you bought the business?
Well, there's knowing and there's living. And I people are going to be the hard part of this. Finding technicians is going to be hard, holding them accountable, building a culture, truly defining who you are as a company. I think all those things are really, really, really hard. They're simple, but not easy. And so how do you explain to someone like how hard it is. I think it's really, really difficult to convey just how difficult it is. Because the, like we've gone through, I mean, I wish there's more I could share on some of this stuff, but like we've gone through some things that I can't even talk about, but they're the most tragic, saddest things I've ever been a part of in my entire career. And that includes multiple years, you know, serving in the Army in Iraq. And so, yeah, you just don't prepare for that. You don't prepare for the grief and the trauma and the challenges. Sometimes you think about them, but there's just like knowing and living is two completely different things. So I'd say number one, seasonal. Like we thought this was a seasonal business. Man, it is a straight up ass kicking. You know, just trying to keep your best people, making sure they have, you know, hours during the winter, making sure that, you know, we are reaching out to customers, really building machine of, you know, the top two things, which is lead flow and talent, you know, and I think that's the two biggest things that, you know, we, if we were to devolve it down to like the simplest elements or first elements, yeah, lead flow and talent. And we've been pretty good on talent. I've personally hired over 1200 people over the last 7 years. And so we feel pretty good about that. The lead flow, like I'd say we're okay. Like we're decent. We could be a lot better there. And it's a vicious cycle, right? Without the lead flow, then you start losing talent or it's hard to gain, you know, attract talent, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you don't attract that talent, then they're not telling their friends, which means, you know, like the job applicant lead flow is down. And then, you know, and that just circles into another cog of like normal lead flow because you don't have great people or the best people. And so we've seen like the, I think the level of expertise and culture fit, like technicians rise, you know, considerably since we took over, I think, with our most senior technician that we got from the first, acquisition, he stayed with us and he's now an ops manager and he's incredible. He's super smart Army guy, veteran, and he's probably the most valuable asset we got from the first acquisition.
The first thing I did after 2 weeks of his sitting in the CEO seat was call my father, who spent 44 years as running his own dentistry, and apologized. And I said, "You did this for 44 years?" I said, "You're out of your mind." I said, "This is a knife fight every day."
Straight up knife fight. It's just dysfunctional chaos. Like it is
because, yeah. Because even when it's great, the next week could be bad. Even when it's great the day before, the next day could be a train wreck.
Yeah. I mean, you're hoping for next week. You're, it's usually the next hour. Sweet. I swear. Like just,
totally.
You know, we just had a fender bender the other day where one of our vans broke down, pulled on the side of the road and our GM Scott, who's an incredible guy, goes to pick up or go stay with the technician until the tow truck gets there. And he pulled up behind him and he's just looking at everything. And he's like, "Man, I just don't have a good feeling about this. So, someone's going to not pay attention. They're going to run right into the back of this van." And so he pulled his truck around to the front, got the technician out and put him in the truck. And sure enough, 20 minutes later, plowed right into the back of the van, you know, and, pretty sure it's totaled at this point. So now you got to figure out a whole new van. You don't necessarily just have a whole bunch of extra vans laying around, you know? So like, how do you keep this guy paid? How do you make sure the revenue is coming in? What's the insurance process? Do you get paid for missed revenue from insurance? Like, you know, how do you handle that? They're not going to care about our timeline, you know? And so it goes on and on and on. And that's just, you know, that's just 1 or 2 hours in a day.
And what was easier than you thought before you got going? Before you bought?
I don't know if anything was easier. Yeah, man, I don't know. I think some of the integration stuff was a little bit easier than expected. You know, it's like getting into, mm-hmm. like we switched over to ServiceTitan immediately. That went pretty smooth, the first time at least. The second time was a nightmare, but for our second, we did a little tuck in. That was really painful, but the first one, yeah, it went pretty good. And so I liked that. I really enjoyed that. And then doing a little bit of the technology stuff that we messed with too, like trying to learn how to sell online, how to get pricing right, how do you build trust? I'd say those things were really welcomed. And I'd say like keeping customers happy for the most part, a little easier than I expected. I'd say maybe mm-hmm. that's the one thing is, at the end of the day, they just want you to do what you say you're going to do.
Totally. What have you learned about yourself in this time that you didn't know?
Oh man, that I can do it. I mean, there, you have this confidence, but I would say, like, I wrote this thing one time, and I write online like a decent amount, not a ton, but mostly because I'm really trying to figure out like my voice of how I want to write, and I just haven't figured out exactly like what to share and, you know, who I am and all those things yet. As well, like, I just see other people who just are so good at it. But I'd say, like, I wrote this thing one time, and it's really indicative of what I feel like I've learned about myself is, man, I think every day there's a moment I want to quit. Every day. You know, and so, and I've definitely quit 1,000 times so far, but never more than a day. You know, and sometimes it's just I quit for a minute, you know, maybe an hour, and maybe it's just a day. But just knowing that you have incredible people counting on you every day, like, that's a really, really heavy burden of responsibility. It keeps you up at night. And so no matter how many times I quit, like, or our team wants to quit, like, we get back up the next day, we put a smile on our face, and we get back to work. You know, and I think that's, it just shows you can do more than you think you can, no matter how hard it gets.
Totally. And so, what I want to spend the last half of you wrote this, you wrote this tweet, or whatever you want to call them, I don't even care, but you wrote this thing, and then all of a sudden, like, you don't have enough going on, you built another business, which is, you know, even though I wasn't in the military, they wouldn't let me in. That's a whole nother can of worms I have never really shared. I have metal plates in my face, but, a lot of my staff, 60% military,
awesome.
My two business partners, ex-military. So, you know, it really runs, you know, through all of us. So walk us through kind of what I think is going to be, honestly, your legacy, which is just such an impact for the community at large.
Yeah. So to your point, I wrote, I guess just going back to the HVAC company, you know, not even doing 4 million, there's four of us. It's just not big enough to support all of us. So how do I make sure I take care of the family? I got those beautiful kids, and, like, turns out they want to eat every day, like, multiple times and stuff. And so, you know, how do I keep the quality of life that we've kind of built along the way? And so, so Scott, he's really our GM, really steps into that role. I step away from the day to day, and then I asked some questions about it, basically, because I shared that I'd stepped away, and people were really interested in the idea of, like, oh, you have a GM. What does that look like? How'd you do that? And so I just asked, like, okay, who's interested in being operators, and who wants to hire operators? And literally ended up with, I think, 52 sales meetings from this, or follow-up meetings from this, you know, candidates and, you know, business owners and all these people really interested. And so, like, that was a catalyst. And so, I talked to a lot of people, you know, went through that, really figured out whether I wanted to do this or not. I think that was the biggest question for me, is, like, do I really want to pursue this or not? Do I just want to try a few, like, what's the deal here? And it just wouldn't go away. So it just wouldn't go away. People just kept DMing me, like, hey, I need to hire a GM, or hey, I got an ops manager, or hey, come meet this person. And I hadn't even really focused yet on, like, veterans, which was going to be, that's more my calling card of where it's going to go. And so at some point in, I think, October or November, I was like, all right, I'm going to give this a real shot and actually go after it a little bit. And so I did. And for me, like, I'm really mission oriented, you know, like, I learned that in the Army. That was a beautiful thing about that. I don't know if there's many organizations that do purpose and kind of mission better than the military. And so, you know, like, what's the purpose here? Well, number one, I want to do better than what I got when I came out of the Army. And so my story is, you know, like, I was a high performer. I was enlisted, so I didn't have a degree yet, but, you know, I'm probably top 5% as a staff sergeant in the Army. And the best job I could get was $11 an hour, you know? And so a family of five at the time, and I was mad at life. I was mad at the world and angry about that transition. And, you know, I'd led large teams, and, you know, so I was pretty pissed off about that. And I just figured, you know what, no one's going to do anything for you. Nobody cares. So how do you go make it on your own? And so I think, you know, I've had a good journey so far. And so as I started thinking about that history, like, how do I make this easier for landing spot for other veterans? You know, that's where Smooth Operators came. So we named it Smooth Operators. corny joke, just like me. And so while I don't exclusively place veterans, every placement that we do is going to support veterans going forward. And so that means it may mean training. So like I'm in the process of building kind of an operators boot camp, operators like training course, specifically around helping veterans transition, because I just helped this Marine get his first role out of the Marines, and he's got all the tools to be a leader and be really successful, but he's missing some things too, where he just needs, he needs a little bit more polish. He needs a little bit more insight.
Some soft skills.
Yeah. A lot of those soft skills. Like he showed up to, you know, this company that's a very relaxed company in like a full suit for his interview. And it's like, oh, you didn't have to do that, man.
Do you know what? You know what a lot of people are missing? And I had to learn this the hard way too. You got to have different gears. You can't be rep to 10.
Yep.
24/7.
100%, man. Urgency without prioritization is just chaos, you know? So this whole idea came together of, okay, I want to focus on placing veterans. I want to, no matter who I place, I wanted to support and help veterans. You know, I'm a veteran. My twin brother's a veteran. My dad's a veteran. Two of my other brothers are veterans. One's a doctor in the Navy, and the other one was in the Army with me. And so, how do we do better for other veterans? And so I love the small, medium business sector. I love blue collar businesses, like both the ones that we run and are part of. And so knowing the operations space specifically, like how do we make that make that our niche, essentially. And so that's what we did. So Smooth Operators really focusing on operations type leadership roles and placing veterans wherever we can. So far this year, we are the unofficial number, because the last guy hasn't actually started yet, but he signed his offer. So 5 veterans placed this year so far out of 5 roles, which is really exciting. And my goal is to place 50 veterans this year, whether informal, formal, whatever. And I'm keeping a scorecard that I'm sharing and posting each time I place a veteran. So right now Marines are kicking ass with 3, and then Army's got 2. So that's the, that's kind of the short of it.
Well, I think what's exciting for me, especially from a guy who dropped out of college 3 times, is we've become a society, especially recently, where the merit of the human, meaning the integrity, the work ethic, the follow through of said human, is not predicated on whether or not they have a degree next to their name. And because of that, we've now opened up the avenue to bring in great people with a purpose. And who better to run a discipline operation than somebody, because my business partner was a command controller who literally scouted departments and was with Navy SEALs and like brought bombs in. Like, yeah, the dude can operate, bro. Like, you know, that's why he sold his company for millions of dollars. Who better than you as a business owner? You don't even have to pay for the training. The U.S. government pays for it.
100%.
And then you soften up a little bit, right? And that's one of the things. My plumbing manager is not military, but he's a hard charger and he's wildly disciplined. And I had to explain to him, you got guys that were building construction a couple months ago. They'd never been a plumber. You gotta soft hand it a touch. And then since we did that conversation, it's been great. It's been amazing. But I think this idea has so much merit to it. I can't wait to introduce you to a gentleman named Kyle Stanbro. He actually just went public with his 7 companies. He's in private security, among other things. He does this separately, different. He helps guys get sober or like back on their feet after they've got out of the military and can't find their way. I brought this up to him and I brought this up to Ben. So I can't wait to have a meeting in Texas where we can sit down and talk about how we can do this and create something. And I want to help if guys are having trouble with addiction or anything like that. Like, I want to jump in there. And there's just they need it, right? They need this thing. And there's a lot of people that are going to benefit on the company side from having an amazing, disciplined, driven human being ready to go.
100%. And a new kind of a program that I'm working on as well. I don't know if you've ever heard of, but the DoD offers this program called SkillBridge, which is essentially a 6-month capstone internship for any member of the military, where they can go out into a civilian company for up to 6 months and the military pays them the whole time. You know, and so you can't even pay these guys during that time, so that they can find an incredible opportunity to land on their feet after the military. And so, you know, there's companies out there that, you know, they do charge something to help facilitate that. And, you know, honestly, working with the government's kind of a nightmare. So there's a lot of training plan, like a lot of good intentions that, you know, end up just being a pain in the ass. But, you know, it's something that we're working through, my brother and I, trying to figure out, like, how do we, you know, foster this and give opportunities to more people? Because, you know, if you had the chance to test, you know, like try out, and learn with a veteran coming out for, let's say, like a little more than minimum wage for 6 months to see if they'd be a great fit or not, like that's a pretty incredible opportunity that you could take a chance on, where, you know, you might not do that if you're paying them 100 grand or you know, even 60 grand or whatever the number may be. So, you know, something I think that's really powerful and not taken advantage of yet enough.
I love it. If people want to track down this information, they want to reach out to you, how would they do that?
Yeah, Twitter is probably the best place. I'm at Nate Lenihan, Nate spelled N and the number 8, because I'm super cool. And then Smooth Operators, we are building the website right now. So smoothoperators.co, we couldn't afford the com. So we just got the .co. I've had a bunch of people just throw the M on the end there. I'm like, guys, we're not that big a deal yet.
We're not bougie, though.
Yeah, we couldn't afford the M. So don't add it, please.
I love it. Guys, I really like, there's like two things in my life I wish I would have done. One was be in the military, because I would have been really good at it. My grandfather said, two things are going to happen. Well, first of all, he gave me this piece of advice. He said, don't volunteer for shit ever. he told me a story. He said he was in boot camp before Vietnam, and they said, does anybody want to be an architect? And a guy raised his hand, and he cut grass with scissors for 3 days straight. But he said, two things are going to happen. Either one, you're going to be the strongest person there because you won't shut the fuck up and you're doing push-ups all day, or you're just going to shut the fuck up. He goes, either way, it's a win. That's what he told me. The second thing that I wish I would have been was born from New Jersey, because I would have been a great mob guy and a mayor, like, for sure. But that's why I'm so passionate, right? Because these guys, and I don't want to get on my soapbox here, but these people are trained to operate. They are trained to deal with stress. They are trained to deal with things. That's why this message is important to me. It's important to my business partners. And so that's why I want to get it out there. So if you know somebody, or you have a young kid who's in the military now looking for something later, definitely reach out to them. And we'll post that in the show notes, and send this to a friend, and we'll see you next time, guys.